Hello, and welcome to Aquarium Dilemmas. I'm your host, Science Gal Aquatics. I'm Carrie, and this is my co-host,
Jesse, and welcome. Thank you for tuning in.
Yes, thank you for being here and listening to this podcast with us. It means a lot.
Well, I think today we have a wonderful, somewhat overlooked topic.
Yeah, I feel like it kind of... We're going to talk about aquarium maintenance today, but I feel like when we talk about maintenance, we just talk about water changes, and I'm guilty of that too. When I talk about maintenance, seeing my aquariums, I just assume I'm just doing the water changes, but there's a little bit more than goes into that. We just wanted to share our steps that we take when we do maintenance our aquariums, and I don't think that we have talked about it. We've talked about like water changes and maintenance on filters and things like that. But I don't think we've just gone down the list of how we do maintenance and what goes into it and the order in which we do our maintenance.
Yes.
And now, we can always do more.
Oh, yeah. There's always more maintenance. But like just the key things in maintenance besides just changing water.
Yes.
And why you change water.
I think the water change is the most important part. They're all important, but I think that's why I assume when I talk about maintenance, it's just water changes. But there's just a couple more things that I think that they are so simple and they're kind of an obvious thing that you're supposed to do that you're right. I think they get overlooked. But if you're new to aquariums or if this is your first time really diving into what aquarium maintenance is, I think it's important to talk about because sometimes going back to the basics is important. And even just going over the steps of maintenance in your aquarium is still important to talk about. And even though you probably know everything on this list that we're going to talk about, it's still important to just go over some things and take a step back and be like, oh yeah, there is a little bit more than just taking water out and putting water back in. Because for so many years, I did do water changes, but I didn't have a clue why. I just knew I was supposed to take out this much water on this day of the week. And that's what I was told. So that's what I did.
Well, and I think some of these steps in conjunction with your water change overall help in the health of your aquarium, mm-hmm. and they make your life easier in the long run.
Yes, I think they're all equally important. And some of them you don't have to do. Like, yes, we do these in probably just about this order and all of them, but there's some times that we might just pick a little algae or maintenance that a particular filter that day. We might not do it all, but as a whole, they're all important to make sure that you do, whether it's a little bit on this day and finish up the next day, or you do them all in one day, or however you decide that your schedule of maintenance is that works out for you. It's so easily overlooked, but it is important to discuss.
Well, yes, I agree. Well, diving right into it, mm-hmm. I think the main thing, the importance of knowing your water and testing your water.
Yeah, I think I'm guilty of this one. I should test my water more often, and I don't know if it's a habit or a routine or what it is, but I do test my water a lot more frequently when I first set up an aquarium. That's really when I'm responsible about it. But even I, being a fish keeper for a long time, I know I need to test my water on a more frequent basis. But if I do notice something off because I've had my aquarium set up for a long time, there's one I've had set up for like 20 years, and that's not, it's just, it's always been set up in different various ways. But that's the first thing I do go to. I mean, if you have an aquarium set up for that long, you can look at it and know something's just not right because you get to know your aquarium. And in the very beginning, that's kind of the first step of getting to know your aquarium and knowing, you know, the get to know each other process is testing your water. And so it's something that you can't do enough. I still need to do more often, but especially in the beginning, if this is your first aquarium and you don't really know the ins and outs of everything, know that testing your water, getting, I like the test strips, but I know having a master test kit is really, it's a really important thing to know how to use. I think the test strips are just super easy and convenient just to have them right there, and just, it's a good starting point. But whether something's off or it's a new aquarium or something I need to do more on a weekly, bi-weekly basis, really testing your water and knowing where it, like where your levels are, is really important. And I think that, like me, I sometimes, like I said, I don't know if it's just a bad habit or I'm lazy or it's something like I just overlook it or what, but it is something that I think all of us need to do frequently just to get to know that aquarium. Because we have a bunch of aquariums and no two are alike. So you can't just test this one and assume that one's, you know, so testing them all and taking your time and really getting to know where those numbers are helps you know how frequently you might need to water change.
Yes, absolutely.
Because a lot of it in the beginning, like I said earlier, I knew I was supposed to do a 20% water change on Tuesdays every single week. And that's what I did. So I think a lot of people just assume it needs to be done weekly. You get an aquarium and you change but if you have a properly stocked aquarium and it's heavily planted, some of our tanks, I've realized through testing my water when I did, that I didn't necessarily need to water change them once a week. Will it hurt anything? No. I mean, a water change is never going to hurt anything. It's always something that, I mean, if you're bored, do a water change. But doing it, stressing myself out, saying, oh, I have to do this on Tuesday. If you test your water and get to know those numbers, maybe it might be best for your schedule. And all your readings are fine. Your parameters are fine. So maybe waiting every 2 weeks is best. You don't know, unless you test your water, if you need to do it weekly or biweekly or monthly. There's not a rule that I thought there was that says every week at 4 o'clock on Tuesdays, I have to take 2 inches of water. I mean, I assume it was 20%. I just knew it was about 2 inches. I didn't even know the percent I was taking. It was just about 2 inches of water needs to come out, and that's what I put back in. So just because, like, I like to do mine weekly or some tanks every 2 weeks, I guess my point is, unless you test your water and get to know your tank, you might not have to do it on that schedule. This every 2 weeks might work best. You just don't know unless you...
Yes, or the caveat could be that you might have to do it more.
Yeah,
Or the main caveat of it is if you're new to it or you just set up an aquarium, obviously, you need to know the nitrogen cycle, and once everything's set up and running properly and starts to stabilize, you're going to realize that by testing your aquarium and by knowing those things. And there is no exact perfect science, in my opinion, to it, because one tank could be bare bottom, one tank could have one of your tanks could have gravel in it, one of your tanks could be like one of ours and be so heavily planted it looks like a jungle.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no particular rhyme or reason, but as long as you're testing, it gets you in the range of knowing whether you have extra nitrates in there or not. And if you have plants in there, they're going to be consuming some of that nitrate. And just making sure that you don't have any nitrites in there that could build up and be harmful to the fish in the long term. I mean, there's a lot of things to be said for that testing. And especially if you're just starting up a new aquarium, even though you got a bunch of other ones like us, like you said, or you're brand new to the hobby.
If it's a brand new tank, you're going to have, before it gets fully cycled, you're going to have a natural fluctuation in those numbers until things kind of get evened out and get established and cycled. But once it's established and you test your water and you realize, okay, it's running around here, and you want, from what I understand, I've read a bunch of different things. I've read anywhere from like 15 parts per million to 40 parts per million, but I like to say around 20, somewhere in that happy medium range of the nitrite I always say I'm wrong.
Nitrate.
With an A.
When you're talking about
that. I guess because I'm talking about it and thinking about it, they're just nitrate, nitrite. They're so easily.
When you're talking about bad, that's my joke, my old joke of I before A. It's not A before I, it's I before A.
Yeah,
if nitrite is bad for fish.
Yes.
If it builds up too much, that's when you're gonna start to see that spike, and it's not gonna be good.
Well, ammonia is the worst, and then going down the list, they're all toxic in certain levels, but ammonia's, you do not want any ammonia in your tank. And then the nitrite with the I,
yes,
is a little less toxic, but you still don't want that in there. And then the nitrate, it's bearable, I would guess, for an easy way to understand it, but it's going to build up. And the only way to get that out is you're going to have to do a water change and get it out. So if you're testing your water and it's between 15 and and 20, you might be for if it's a it's your decision. I mean, if it's around there, yes, do a water change. If you want to see how things go, it's a larger aquarium. It's planted. Your fish are still actively doing okay, and it's like 16 parts per million. You could probably do a water change maybe next week. It's up to you and your schedule, and you just have to monitor your fish. But I would say if it's getting around the 20, the 30%, yeah, parts per million, yes, you just 20 to 30 parts per million, then I would do a water change. But if it's over 30 or 40 parts per million, I would just stop what I was doing and just do a water change then. If that makes any sense of me, again, trying to think and talk at the same time.
Well, yes. And the other thing is there's certain plants, and I do not, there's so many plants out there that I know the very limited half dozen to dozen that we keep continuously, but there are certain plants that will consume and use nitrates more than others. So whether you have that plant in your tank or not, I don't know your tank. You don't know my tank. That also could be a little bit of a factor there on where your part per million is that you're comfortable with. If it's at that 20, but you're like, it's super heavily planted, it's not going to rise anymore. You might be able to do that one more week, like you
just
said.
Just test it and see.
But by testing, you will know.
Yes. But if you're looking at your tank and if you have fish in there, if it's a well-established tank, I assume you do. If it's a new setup tank, I mean, I don't know. I like to wait, but it's like my sister, she gets excited, and sometimes we have to explain why we need to wait and not set up, put fish in the same day. But if you notice your fish are kind of gasping or just not actively swimming or things like that, then yeah, I would test the water and immediately do a water change type of thing. But I guess it's just so hard to put it in a lump.
There's no right or wrong category. It's such a broad, open spectrum. And again, you're also dealing with my major thing of, are we dealing here with a nano tank? Are we dealing with whatever, 5 gallons? Or are we dealing with 500 gallons?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a big difference in swings there. So you can't lump all
maintenance
together.
That when I was learning why we test, why we do water changes, and like the reason why we do things and not just water changing because I was told to water change. When starting to read about it, I feel like that spot where I like to do water changes is between 20 and 30 parts per million. Anything under that, I do kind of wait another week and see. Anything over that, I just stop what I'm doing and I'm going to do a water change right then. But pretty much any scenario where I can think of, it's really the first thing I go to. And I don't, if it's been a well-established tank and I just know that tank, I might not test the water. Right, I just do a water change. But in the very beginning of setting things up, there is going to, and we've talked about it in another podcast episode going over the nitrogen cycle and things, there's going to be a little swing until things get established. But testing your water and getting to know it and knowing kind of where you're, like you said, if it's a larger tank, I don't water change those and maintenance those as often as my nano tanks. Those, for me, the fish that I have, and they just kind of always require a little bit more maintenance. And it's not always just water change. It's just cleaning the glass, just little things I have to do more often. So there's a lot of things that go into it, and determining whether I even need to do a water change and do this maintenance does come down to testing those nitrates. And if it's over, you know, that sweet spot of 20 to 30 parts per million, then that determines what I do.
Well, I'll end this on my little beginner fish keeping idea of what a water change does. A water change to me, we're taking out the bad stuff. We're taking out the excess nitrates. Mm-hmm. And depending on what you're doing, like us, we use our tap water, and we'll get into that in a minute. And we remineralize that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because our tap water is hard and it has lots of minerals in it.
There's a lot that of benefits. And I guess that's what I was going to earlier. Whether it's something's going wrong or everything's going right, if in doubt and you're like, should I do a water change? There's nothing bad that's going to come. It's whether you have trace element or just too much nutrients or trace elements or just what. Sometimes there's things you just can't see, and it's good to remineralizing the water and just reoxygenating things. There's just no harm that can come from a water change. So if you're in doubt and you're like, I don't know, this is reading 22 parts per million, some make up some number, and you're like, I don't know. There's nothing that's bad's going to come of it.
No. And if you're a normal aquarist and you're not using RO water, so that you're having to put in certain minerals that you need for certain fish, which comes into a lot more complicated, even over my head kind of deal, or for certain special shrimp.
Yeah, we're very low.
We're low tech. And for certain special shrimp, you got to use RO water and remineralize and put certain minerals in there for them to thrive and do well. That is one way you're remineralizing the water, but at the same time, you're still taking out all the bad stuff. You're still taking out the nitrates. You're still taking out waste, excess, everything that is in that tank by doing that little bit of water change. You're dropping those levels down on some degree, depending on the volume of the tank. So moving forward on what we like to do and the way we do it, we like to prep our water. We're water preppers, so to speak.
I used to not, but I find myself running into less problems going through just that little bit of, it's not even work. It's not even time consuming. It's just a little bit of prep work to my water versus dosing each aquarium after I refill it, which is not wrong. You can totally still do that.
Well, no, because they make a wonderful system on the market. I believe it's like a Python or something that you can use to redo your water, put water in.
Yeah, there's all kinds of cool little things. But I'm just, even just, I would aquarium vac my water or my aquarium, and then I would refill with a water jug, and then I would take my whatever it is I was using at the time, water conditioner for whatever, and I would just dose each tank as I would refill it. Versus now, I have a larger 55-gallon trash can that we just use for water. And when we say prep or water, I'll fill it up. And that's, I dose my water conditioner and anything that's I want to add to my water, whether, like I said, fertilizer, water conditioner, anything I'm using. If I have a brackish tank at the time, if I'm redoing, adding the salt, I'll do everything to just a 55-gallon trash can of water. I'll just dose for that versus going through each individual aquarium.
Yes.
But again, if there's nothing wrong with doing it that way, this is just easier for me. And I feel like I get the, because it's really important to follow the directions. Like, that was an epiphany for me, like read the directions and follow them as do what they say.
Yes, use your. And
I was the type of person that I would just kind of like, oh, I feel like that's enough. Well, me feeling like that's enough might not be enough. It might be too much. I was just wasting and overusing and not doing anything any favors. So I find this method of, like we said, prepping our water. Ideally, we like to do it the night before. We'll plan what doing water changes, or I'll plan cleaning these two tanks over here or this wall of tanks over here, and I'll get everything water about my water. I'll just get it prepped the night before, and I just find that's easier for us.
Well, and the reason we also do that is we use a water conditioner, and we like to let the water conditioner work. And if it wasn't, we'll say for some reason I was not heavy-handed enough or Carrie was not heavy-handed enough, it gives it time for that water to gas off. Like, yes, the chlorine and the chloramines will gas off.
The chloramines, I don't believe, gas off. I believe it's just the chlorine.
Yeah,
but
it's just
either
the
way,
chlorine the will gas heavy off. Metals, You're correct.
Heavy metals still stay in there. But I still feel, I agree with you, there's something about doing that. And I made this mistake in the past that when I was first learning how to do things differently and broaden my mind to things, don't refill your, I was using water, drinking gallons of water, and I put the lid back on it, and that kind of defeats the purpose. So if, like with our trash can, or if you're using buckets or drinking containers or whatever, if they come with the cap, don't put the cap back on it. Like I did. That kind of defeats the purpose of gassing off the chlorine. But I still feel like if you, I call it aging my water. I don't know if there's a technical term out there. I'm sure there is, but letting that gas off and letting that water conditioner bind and do its thing and just setting it out of the way, that I know sometimes my biggest thing, we'll talk about this too when it comes to refilling, but I sometimes don't always get the temperature right. Sometimes I'll fill it a little too hot, or I'll fill the water a little too cold, and just sitting overnight does seem to, it gives everything time to just settle, gas, get to room temperature, and I just know everything's good. But there are occasions we'll do it the day of, maybe the morning of, we'll fill it up, or sometimes we'll run out of water and we don't have time to set another whole day.
Well,
so there, I mean, as long as, I think the most important part of the whole step of prepping your water is, if there's one product out there and we don't have a favorite, I tend to use a couple things more often just because they're really easy to get. But using a water conditioner is just really important.
Yes. And the other thing I was going to say, moving forward with the steps, is you can let this process happen while you're doing like a big tank or several tanks. And that's usually what she's talking about when we say we run out of water. Well, we've been working these other methods that we're getting ready to talk about right now while all this is going on.
Yeah. And I feel like if I need an extra tub batch of water, or if whatever happens, I feel like for me, I wouldn't say rushing things. You just sometimes work. We have a lot of tanks and we run 55 gallons of water. Yeah, it's a lot, but it's really not a lot when you have this many tanks. And some of our friends have even more. So that's not really that much. But as long as you at least, like I said, for me, I give it like 15, 20 minutes to kind of do its thing and then I'll use it. But like I said before, if you have one tank, you don't need 55 gallons of water on the side. You have a 20 gallon tank and you just have one, and you want to do a water change. It's completely still okay just to use your water conditioner and add your things into your tank. The only one that I do suggest, if you have a brackish tank, pre-mix your water, get your salt dissolved. That's kind of a separate topic. But for the sake of our fresh water tanks, I don't want anybody to come across, like, I don't want to come across like that method's bad and this method's bad. I just want to say for us, this is, I like prepping it. If I have the time, I really like to wait 24 hours. But if you have one tank and you just want to add it to directly to your aquarium, that's fine too. But if you want to let it have time to work, 24 hours I feel is ideal, but you can go like 15-20 minutes and that's okay too.
Yes. Well, and while all this is going on is when we like to start the, it's kind of a lot of times a multi-stage effort or a combined effort of getting some little bit of cleaning going on.
Well, I would say just even it's so simple. You just, for me, when I'm looking at a tank and I'm deciding, okay, I'm going to, I personally don't go over 50%. I feel like for me personally, anything over 50% kind of is, I don't want to, I don't know. I don't like to take that much out because of my bacteria, but there's some rare circumstances that you need to do a 100% water change. Anything around like that 75% or 100%, if you have to start all over, that's when I take my fish out. But the type of water changes I stick to normally is probably, I would say, like 20%, 25%. I don't personally like to go over 50%. If I'm going to do a water change, I like to do a little bit more than 10%. But I get asked a lot by my friends and stuff that are new. I don't like to take my fish out of the aquarium to do just a simple water change. Now, like I said, there's those rare circumstances that you have to do a 100% water change or a 75% water change.
That's a whole other topic. That means something's going wrong.
I don't know. Like the time that the kiddos dumped all that fish food in the aquarium, that's what I have in my head. I guess I should explain that, where I'd have to just almost start over. Those occasions, yes, I would go ahead and scoop out my fish and put them in a bucket out of the way and go from there. But if I'm doing a 25% water change, I don't scoop my fish out. So you don't have to do that. If I will unplug my, like, if I can't turn off my filter, which I don't think we have any right now. I think they're all just plugged in. If it's going to make that horrendous, you don't want your aquarium filter to run dry. So if I'm doing like a 25% or a 30% where I know that water line's going to dip below that and it's going to make that grinding sound, then unplug your filter. But I'm not going to lie, if I'm doing a smaller water change where my filter's not, the flow of it is not going to change, I'm not going to climb on my head behind these stands and try to do it. Some of them, it feels like on the wall beside where you're at, if you can see this, if you're watching the podcast, if you're a member, this wall's really easy. You just flip a switch and they all turn off. But you don't ever want your aquarium filter to grind, because is it an, I always call it a propeller, but it's an impeller, right?
Yes.
You don't want that to grind at all. That's bad. So for me personally, if I'm doing, for me, a larger water change is 30%, an average is probably 20%. But some of my larger tanks, that size water change does not affect my filter, so I won't unplug it because it's very difficult to get behind that wall. But my nano tanks, the smaller tanks, doing a 20% water change, sometimes that can, depending on your filter, drop that down enough to where you might need to unplug it. Your heaters, this is where I've made a lot of mistakes over the past. You don't want them to get exposed to air. So if you're going to do a water change, you can totally unplug them, which is, that's probably the proper thing to do. So unplug your heaters. But if you're like me, probably, I shouldn't say it, but maybe a little bit on the lazier side. I don't know.
Just make sure it stays under the water
line. So push it down. That's what I usually do. If it's coming close to, It's usually the nano tanks. The larger tanks, I don't have this problem. Because it's a larger tank. They're further down into the tank. But it seems like my 10 gallons, my 20 longs, sometimes those heaters are set up a little bit higher. And you do not want those exposed to air. And in the past, I was oblivious to this. I guess I just didn't give it any thought. It did not cross my mind. And I would keep it plugged in. You could almost see it's steep. It's just not good. Don't do that. So when it comes to when you're doing your maintenance, you do not want your filters to grind. So if you're doing a water change large enough that your filter has the opportunity to make that horrendous grinding sound.
If your filter has the opportunity to not pick up water, yes, and pick up air,
take the
and
time
not stay primed, please unplug it.
Unplug it. And if your heater is in any way going to be exposed to the air during your water change, either push it down underneath the water line before you know where you're going to drain it to. So in your head, imagine that water line and push it down, or go ahead and take the time to unplug it, because I did not in years past, and that was a big mistake. So just even unplugging your filter and moving your heater around, that does go into the bubble of aquarium maintenance. And I have lost equipment and have lost fit. You do not want hot glass and cold water to mix.
Well, and while you're doing all this, you're unplugging or pushing that heater down, now's the time you're going to start to see your glass, and if it's got any buildup, or if you got a planted tank, all that algae and stuff that could be in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be the time where I try to run and hide.
Yes. But I do start, for me, my schedule, I start with the glass first. I just feel like in the order of things, if you clean the glass, I like to use either a sponge, a razor blade, or like an old hotel key. Just be careful if you use sponge not to get substrate in it, and then you start to scrub on the glass and you do nothing but scratch it. Don't do that. Just don't do that. But I start with the glass first.
And you don't use a razor blade on acrylic.
Yes, don't do that either. But I use the razor. I don't know. I clean the front glass more than I do the back of the aquarium. Because I don't mind a little. It's not algae per se, but a little bit of stuff on the back glass, I guess, because it doesn't interfere with me viewing the fish. But I always, 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 always clean the front viewing glass. The back glass and the side panels, that I do clean. I do maintenance, but I don't seem to clean them as often as that front viewing glass. But it's completely up to you and what you like. If you like some things on that back glass, especially in my shrimp tanks, a little bit. I guess it's a little bit of algae. It's just, I don't know. It's just I guess mainly hair algae, I guess, now that I'm looking at it and thinking about it. But it's not bad. It's not grown up. It's just barely on that back glass. And the Neocaridina shrimp really do like that. So I let them kind of graze on that. But the front viewing panel is what I always start with first. And once that algae or that film, sometimes you don't even know it's there until you go to clean it and you realize, oh, there was something there. That will kind of disperse in the water column. And then I'll start on the decorations or wiping the rocks down. Sometimes I'll take a rock out if it needs to. It's not every time. It's just when you're viewing and cleaning that particular aquarium, there might be a driftwood piece or a rock in this one that's a little bit got something on it, and I'll take it out and kind of scrub it off if it needs to, or I'll have some hair algae on something else, or I'll clean the filter input if anything's kind of got gathered up on that. But that's kind of, I'll start with the glass and then move into other things just because that will kind of disperse into the water column. And then when you go to aquarium vac, then that kind of will get, it'll help. That's when you can get that out.
Yes, you can get that out of the water column. And that's the part where I was alluding to the fact that I try to stay away from the glass and the cleaning of the plants and all of that. However, while she is doing that, mm-hmm. I like to start to pull some water out, a bucket of water out to do that water change. I'm taking out some old water, and I like to set that bucket to the side. Mm-hmm. And then that way she can rinse if she does have a rock or whatever she wants to pull out and scrub mm-hmm. on a little harder. She can rinse it in that water and kind of gets the major bulk of whatever she's mm-hmm. wanting off of it. And at the same time, depending on what we're doing, if it's that time of the month, then I can go ahead and I have a bucket of water ready to, I can pull out the filter media out of our filters because most of them are hang on the back that have all been modified.
I do want to say before you say this, because I know where I think you're going, we do not do this on the same day that we will do like a heavy, like if we have something going on or I've been scrubbing on something and it's a little extra just, I don't know, you raise up a rock and a bunch of stuff comes up in the water column or something. I don't like to heavily maintenance my filters on the same day I'm doing like a significant water change because of my bacteria. So yes, we'll take a small, I'm cleaning the glass and you'll drain a little bit of water out of the tank and put it in a bucket. And I might rinse out the media in that, just kind of give it a light squeeze.
Well, that's what I was going with, a shake.
But I don't like, and this is again, me personally, I don't like to do like a 50% water change or even sometimes a 30% water change where I'm taking a lot of stuff out with the aquarium vac. And then do a heavy maintenance on my filter. If I have to do a heavy maintenance, if something's, let's say, clogged and it's not quite running right, where it's a little bit slowed down or something, then I'll do that. And then I'll do a heavy water change like the next day because things kind of will settle down. But I don't, if I do a, you know, I'm just doing my regular maintenance, my regular water change, we're taking
20. That's what I was framing that with. I was framing it a regular maintenance. Mm-hmm. Regular maintenance. 20%. You're overrunning me here. Uh-huh. Literally, you're running over top of me. You're steamrolling me.
Uh-huh.
I'm talking about.
It's like the one and only time I get to.
Talking about you're just cleaning the glass. We're doing a normal 15, 20% water change, just something that we do every couple weeks on certain tanks of mm-hmm. the medium size, the 55s. We'll just use that as a general example. Yes, that's when I do that little bucket trick to where you can clean anything you want. I pull that filter media out, mm-hmm. give it a little nice little dip in there, shake off the bulk of the nastiness that could be in there, and put it right back in the filter.
But even that, we don't do that every single time. It's just as needed. Some tanks naturally, I don't know, some of the tanks down here, the ones that have like the Amica Splendens, there's just certain tanks that the filter does get a little bit just naturally more gunked up over a smaller guppy tank. So even with just rinsing that off, it's just as needed. It's not every single time. And this is why it's just so hard to give. Like, I want to give advice and I want to share my knowledge of what I've learned over the years, but it's so hard because each tank's so different. But
well, each tank is going to have a different bio load mm-hmm. and each tank mm-hmm. is planted heavily differently.
Yes.
So you're not going to have that same amount of either mm-hmm. algae buildup or filter buildup or maybe mm-hmm. one tank, just the glass, just always the front glass is always mm-hmm. gunked up. It just is what it is.
And like we said earlier, these are the steps that we will do maintenance. But sometimes, I don't know, you don't have to do all of these. Like you said, I might come down here and I might be maintenancing my tank, but I'm really, all it needs that day is a little bit of scrubbing on the front glass. Or sometimes I might come down here and I want to maintenance a tank and it just has a little bit of hair algae in a corner and I'll just pull that off and it doesn't need a full water change. But there's other tanks with like the plecos and the goldfish or something like that, that has a higher bioload that if you move one little rock, then it's, there's stuff in there that you're like, oh my goodness. And it just gets all crazy and it's like everything's floating around in the water and it just needs that time. It needs a heavier water change. So it really is dependent on what fish you have stocked and how much you feed and the bio load of the fish and how long you leave the lights on. And the days that I forget to, there's some weeks I do really good and some weeks I do not so good. And if I leave the lights on too much, then there's going to be more hair algae that week. And sometimes I need to just do a light little rinse on the filter media. And then there might be other weeks where we're out of town and my mom comes over to feed and she's heavy handed with the feeding and the filters are all clogged up. So, but it's just, these are steps that we take to maintenance in like a simple little order in which we do them, but it really is week to week, tank to tank.
Yes, it is. Specific. But if I'm going to give a guide for a quick,
like a checklist.
Yes.
Like
if I'm going to do a 20% water change on the 55 I'm staring at right now, I'm going to do a 20% on it. I am going to prep my water.
Yep.
I'm going to let you clean the glass and the plants.
Yep.
And I am going to pull out some water and then I'm just going to quickly rinse off the filter media, put it right back so it stays wet. And then you're going to tell me when you are tired of either cleaning the glass or tired of picking algae out of there. And then I'm going to do my aquarium vac the rest of the way, get the rest of the water out that I want to get to my 20%. And that way I'm sucking up all that extra stuff that you pushed into the water column. I can suck up a lot of that with the aquarium vac. And I get multiple little things done so that the maintenance never becomes crazy in my mind. In my general man mind, it's easier to do little things, a bunch of little things, like you said, a little bit of picking algae over here, clean the glass here, and then I aquarium vac it. I'm getting rid of all that debris that might have just sloughed off into the water column. I can get rid of that while I'm getting my little 20% of water out. And the fish are not going to know any different. They're going to be happy. You're going to be able to see the tank better. And in the long run, you're not going, oh, man, this tank got out of control. I'm going to have to do a 50% water change. I'm going to have to do this to this filter. I might even have to pull a fish out. It could just, by doing those little things kind of in this order we're talking about, I feel like it seems to never keep you overwhelmed.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you have one or two tanks, I don't think, I mean, going down to one or two tanks would probably be a little less stressful when it comes to certain aspects of, I don't want it to say that it's a bad thing or anything, but there's times where when you have a lot of tanks and you're like, man, I really need to get this done. For my personality type, just looking at it as a whole, I'm like, oh, man. But it's so enjoyable once you get started that you're like, this isn't a chore at all. But it's that first step that you come down here, you're like, man. And I feel like you're right. I like to take a couple fish, just pick out two or three that day and then work on them and do a little bit at a time. And it's not so overwhelming. But I don't know. I don't want to come across like it's an overwhelming process to do maintenance or anything like that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You kept alluding to this grandeur that it isn't where you got to do one thing or the other thing. You can do all these things in a little bit of moderation. You don't have to, like you said, you don't have to clean.
You don't have to do it all. This is just like a little checklist that we kind of thought of like, well, if we were, but there's sometimes, like you said, there's sometimes you come down here and you're like, it doesn't need a full water change. It just needs a little bit of this. Or this tank over here could use a little bit more of a water change. Or this one over here doesn't need a water change at all. It looks absolutely perfect this week and I don't really need to do anything. It's just, if I'm going to sit down and do a water change to help, I feel like I used to go right into aquarium vacuuming the substrate and then Like, yes, that was very beneficial. But then I would clean the glass and then I'd be like, man, I just refilled this tank and now I feel like I need to do another water change because all the stuff I just cleaned on the glass is now in the water column and I've already refilled it. So I've just learned over the years of doing maintenance that it does work a little bit easier for me if I start on the glass, then go to the decorations, and then use my aquarium vac. And when I, and then there, like you said before, there's some occasions where I don't even need to be, it doesn't need to be aquarium vac. I just use it to drain the water, but there's not a lot of debris or anything that needs to be removed. And some of them that the more, they're not heavy, they don't have as much substrate. Like the goldfish, it just has very little that you can see where you, okay, right there's got waste. Right in that corner is where it needs to be removed. So I don't have to do all of it. And versus the sand tanks and the gravel tanks, there's a little bit of a different in techniques. But I guess the bottom line, what determines if I heavy-handed and I'm really getting in there and trying to get everything is just how much waste and uneaten food and just dead organic matter that needs to come across. And before, when I would maintenance my aquariums and I took the aquarium vac and I would do a water change, but I wasn't even sure what I was looking for at that time. So it's really just things that if you have some dye back on a plant that needs to be removed and or fish waste or rotting food or just any dead organic matter. And it seems to cluster a lot around like decorations and rocks and things like that. When you lift it up, you just want to try to
when plants die back or you need to trim them back, mm-hmm. pruning your plants back and all that, you can easily get that out with either aquarium tools or with the mm-hmm. aquarium vac. You can easily get that out. And that's the main purpose of doing the cleaning the glass however much you want, whether you're cleaning just the front, all of it, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. Then you're able to get what you've knocked off into the water column mm-hmm. with the water change you were already going to do anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It sounds simple, but as we have done many times, we've done it backwards. Clean the glass after we put fresh water in it and went, why did I just knock all of this back into the aquarium? This doesn't even make sense now.
Because there's no right or wrong order on things. Like we said, I just feel like this is, over the years of maintaining my aquariums, this is just, it's a really helpful order in which it helps me do things. And like I said, sometimes I can come down here and I just like, oh my gosh, I don't even know where to start. And there's some weeks I come down here and I'm like, man, everything looks really good. I don't know. Like, I think the tanks look better if I just leave them alone. And so I just feel like this order and working on a few tanks at a time versus coming down here and seeing like all 30 of them at once. It's just looking at each one individually and taking the time with each one individually and slowing down and just, it's sometimes it can be a chore. I'm not going to lie, but maintaining and doing water changes and really getting to know your fish at that time and slowing down and doing things. Once I get started, it's a really enjoyable time, especially if you do it in an order that helps you out long term.
Well, and the last two things to do would be to add that water back. And the main thing, in my opinion, is to just add the water either relatively slowly for your fish and make sure that what kind of fish you have in there. Some can handle a little faster flow mm-hmm. of the setup that we use to add our water back, and some of them don't like it, particularly care for it. So mm-hmm. you slow it down. The main other real key, in my opinion, is just, like you said earlier, make sure your water is within a relative temperature.
Yeah, you want it to get it as close as you can to, just because you don't want un You don't want to intentionally stress your fish out in any way, and temperature fluctuations is a quick way to stress your fish out. So if you can get it, that's the reason I like to set up my water like the night before in an ideal situation, because you don't want to replace a warm heated tank with freezing cold water. There's always an exception to the rule. There's sometimes where you can do a colder water change and it might trigger spawning or something like that. But just for the sake of,
general health,
keeping things simple. And for me, it's really important to keep it as consistent and as close as you can. If you have an exception to the rule and you're doing something like that, then you know what you're doing and keep doing what you're doing. But for the sake of like beginners, or just try to keep it as close to what they're used to as you can, just for that unwanted stress. Because if you stress your fish out and they get sick, you just don't want to do that. So, I mean, 1 or 2 degrees, sure, it's hard to get it perfectly every single time, but just that's a really important aspect of putting water back into it, is just making sure it's not too hot, it's not too cold, it's just right.
The old Goldilocks reference there. Sure. And then the last thing that, especially if you're rushed for time, and this has even happened to me, is once you get everything topped back up the way you want it, just make sure you plug everything back
in. You know
in.
How easy it you would think, oh, plug it back in, so simple. But that's so easy to forget to plug it back in and get it going again. I can't tell you how many times I have come down here and I'm like, I forgot to plug that filter back in. Seriously? So, and that's just a whole other thing. You don't. Just remember to plug your appliances back in. It's just best. Just remember, write it on your hand, put a post-it note, put a sign on your fish room door, turn your filter back on, and plug in your heater.
Yes.
It's just something, so simple that I'm not going to lie to you, that I overlook. I do a lot better now because I tell myself to do it, but it was something that I would go through all the work of getting everything cleaned up and looking great. And we'd come and it'd be freezing cold because I forgot to turn the heater back on or something. And you just don't want to do that either. And when it comes to putting water back in it, I can't tell you in the beginning how many times when I was using those water buckets, I would just dump that water right in, and it would just, my substrate, my wonderful pink gravel that I had at the time would just being just, it's everywhere. And there's some super easy tricks. You can use a colander. You can just simply put whatever that thing is on the end of that hose that we use that slows down the flow. It's like a little valve. There's just simply, when you tip that bucket back over, just don't.
Well, we'll do a whole nother.
Just go slowly.
Podcast of just our little just fun aquarium hacks.
Just for the sake of your substrate, your plants, your incredible fish, don't go through all that work of, cleaning your substrate and getting your plants looking good and all your glass looks good, and then you just demolish it because you just dump 10 gallons or a 5-gallon bucket of water in there as fast as you possibly could. And you don't want to do that. So just simply when you're going back to refill your tank, just go a little slower or get a valve or get a siphon that you can control. I don't know, whatever you want to use that you use.
Well, there's so many products on the market.
Just simply slowing down. So you don't destroy your aquascape or whatever. I mean, it's your aquarium. You take pride in it. And I know my scapes don't look the best, but for me, I really love them. And I don't want to destroy them just because I dumped all that water in there so fast like I used to do in years past. So you don't want to do that. So, but I guess kind of thinking over, hopefully if you made it this point, you have taken something from this podcast. But just starting off, I guess, test your water to even know if you need to even do a water change, and getting to know your aquarium and knowing where your numbers are when it comes to, you know, it's just, it's really important step that I should not skip as often as I do. I'm better in the beginning of a new aquarium, but it's something that I would say that even I always need to work on. But testing your water is where probably a good starting point. Yeah. Unplugging your filter so it doesn't run dry. Unplug your heater if it's going to be exposed to air, or push it underneath the water line. That's it's an overlooked step that I'm guilty of, but take it from me. You don't want a broken heater in your tank, or you don't want to break your filter simply because you didn't take the time to unplug it when you were doing a water change.
Yep. And then next would be just prep your water however mm-hmm. you see fit for the mm-hmm. type of aquarium and yes. fish that you have inhabiting said aquarium.
Yes, and use water conditioner. Like we said, I like to prep my water the night before, especially it's just – if you can take the extra time, it's worth it. But if you can't, just prep it, give it 15, 20 minutes, and you're good to go.
Well, and it also helps if you have the time. It helps with that last part about gives your time water to temperature acclimate mm-hmm. in case you did have it either too warm or too cold. Mm-hmm. You get a little bit more time for everything to kind of equalize and everything mm-hmm. be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, because a lot of that will save you time in a long run.
We do have heated tanks, but a lot of our tanks are just honestly room temperature. So giving that time to kind of just our water is, it's like we have a good water heater and it gets really hot. So it's really easy to get it a little too hot, and we have a little, I don't know, it's like a little temperature gun, and that's what I use to test it, and it works out really well. So if you can, give your water 24 hours with your water conditioner, add your fertilizers, do what you need to do to get it prepped and ready to go for the next day. But if you can't do that, give it at least 15 minutes and then go from there. But if you have to add your water conditioner right into your tank, you don't have a big tub of water or an area to do that, it's okay too. It's just make sure that whatever products you are using, that you do dose according to the directions, because that you don't want to add too little, and you don't want to add too much either. So just make sure you're dosing for the water you're putting back in.
Yep, for the amount you're putting back in. Mm-hmm. And well, you'll have those 15 or 20 minutes at least to let that rest if you're going to go ahead and clean the glass or do anything else in that tank,
mm-hmm.
even just as much as while that water's sitting there acclimating, you're taking out your 20%.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to get you your 20 minutes right there. If you yeah. just clean the glass and take out your 20%, there's your 15 to 20 minutes right yeah. there.
And then we got our water prepped. We cleaned our glass and our large rocks and our decorations and our filter input. If you need to rinse your media in your filter, you can, like we said, a little light rinse in the water you drained out is good, but I don't recommend doing a really large water change and doing heavy maintenance where you're taking the filter completely apart and like unclog. I don't recommend doing that on the same day, but a 20% water change and a light rinse of your filter media or filter sponge or whatever you're using for media is okay.
Yeah.
But even that, if it doesn't need it every single time, then it doesn't need it every single time. You know your tank.
Yep.
But that's the order in which we do it.
Yes.
Then you aquarium vac and then you refill and make sure you plug everything back in.
Well, you plug everything back in, and then you'll be able to double check and make sure that filter mm-hmm. and that heater and everything's working properly. That's yes. the main thing right yes. there.
And if there's some tanks, like we said, that need all of these steps once a week, all of these steps every 2 weeks. And there are times that we come down here and we just need to clean the glass, or we just need to pick a little there's a leak or something that got is in the filter input or something. You just need to dislodge that, and that's all you need to do that time. So again, testing your water and knowing your parameters really does help you know if you need to even do these steps or not. And
or you, how much of each
or how
step.
Much. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, you're just better at saying it. If you even need to do all of the steps, and if in doubt, you know, a water change, like we said, is never going to be a bad idea. If you want a water change once a day, once a week, if your tank is okay to water change once a month, there's nothing set in stone saying you have to water change this much on this day, on this schedule. You know your tank, and you know if your fish are happy and active and eating. And so we just wanted to share what I've learned along the way with aquarium maintenance, because yes, I think of water changes as the most important in maintenance, but you know, cleaning, making sure your filter's running properly, your heater's good, getting all the waste out of your aquarium, it's all equally as important, and it all kind of
ties together.
And sometimes you have to do more, and some weeks you have to do less, but just remember it's a closed system. So if you're putting food in there, it's going to come out as waste, or it's going to be uneaten. And a lot of that, it's just, you have control over that, and to make it thrive, you need to do maintenance, whether it's a little bit more this week or a little bit more next week, or just keep in mind that everything that goes into that, chances are you need to water change and get that out to keep it healthy.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
I 100% agree.
I hope it does. And just thank you for being here and listening and being our friend, because this might have been, hopefully you picked up something new.
Yes, I think ultimately you can do all these things at one time if you need to on a regular maintenance schedule, or you can do one of these steps every other couple days or however, whether it be clean the glass or check on your filter, make sure your heater's running properly, yes. All of that. You can do one as many as you want on a regular maintenance schedule, or as few, depending on your tank and knowing how your tank is set up.
Yes. And like we said earlier, I don't want anybody to not get their first aquarium or not enjoy the hobby because maintenance can become overwhelming or a chore. So really just, I've learned to slow things down and take my time and really enjoy the process, because it's part of the process. You can't have a healthy, thriving aquarium without doing maintenance, whether it's a lot or a little bit, or you just can't. You can't have an aquarium set up and never do maintenance, I don't feel like. So I don't want anybody to avoid getting into the hobby because of maintenance, because it might feel like it's challenge or chore or overwhelming. And I love the hobby, and I am sometimes, I come down here, like I said, and I'm just like, ugh. And there's other times I come down here and I put the music on and I work at a couple things at a time. And before I know it, it's an enjoyable process. And I don't want anybody not to get in the hobby because of aquarium maintenance. So I'm just breaking things down, sharing our experience, our tips, and being honest about some things. I just hope that you can learn and share this, whether you find it, you know, something you've already know or something new. I just feel like the more we talk about it and discuss even something that's as basic as unplugging a filter is still important to just getting, you know, things out there. And just, I hope this helps people.
And ultimately, it gives you some really good one-on-one time with your aquarium, to where you can look at stuff that you normally may not have seen or picked up on.
Oh my gosh, when you're just doing whether it's a small water change or a big water change, when you come down here and you spot new little fry, or you see some new shrimp or some, there's all kinds of things that just while you're doing maintenance, or just simply cleaning the front of your glass, there's all kinds of things that you can discover that you might have overlooked just because you just fed them and then went back upstairs or whatever. And, you know, even simply just using a little bit, I like the Fritz glass cleaner, but just spraying a little bit, that when everything's all said and done and taking just a paper towel or towel, and wiping just the water spots off the front of the glass, it's just taking those small little, that small little step is just, it's enjoyable, and it really does help with my anxiety, because sometimes I have anxiety, and it's just, even the small things are, it's just remembering to slow things down and take the time and really getting to know your tank, whether it's maintenance or feeding or whatever it is, just not rushing through the process.
Yes, I agree.
Anything else?
I think we've covered it well.
Mm-hmm. I hope so. I hope you think so. If you would like to watch this podcast, you're always invited to check out the memberships over at Science Gal Aquatics over on YouTube. But until next time, thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.